This is the East Idaho Prepcast on idahosports.com.
That's right. Welcome in another edition of the East Idaho Prepcast on idahosports.com. Talking District 5 and 6 athletics and activities week in, week out in the great state of Idaho. The East Idaho Prepcast is presented by No Vape, Idaho Public Television's campaign to raise awareness about the dangers of youth vaping. Be smart, don't start. My name is Brandon Bainey, but the guy you really came to listen to is our East Idaho expert, Sean Kane. What's up, Sean?
Boom, boom. Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm excited to dive into some of what we got going on here in East Idaho as far as spring sports. And just kind of thinking, I'm always like, why isn't there anything about golf? And, you know, we don't have golf in the spring anymore. I keep forgetting that, you know, that's a new thing too. I'm like, man, why haven't I heard anything about golf? And I forgot golf already happened for at least 4A and 5A. I'm sure we'll get some smaller division golf results eventually, right? So,
yeah, and I guess that's my request is, hey, Marsh Valley, Bear Lake, you know, Snake River, if you're out there and you're golfing, like, you know, send some results our way. We want to talk. You know, it's hard to first of all, it's hard for coaches because, like we've said in the past, if you don't take a picture of the golf cards that are,
yeah, usually that's what we get because they're handwritten, right? You know, it's a country club sport, but it's a backyard scorecard.
Yeah. So if you don't take a picture of that, then, you know, you're pretty much SOL.
There's no, website. I don't think there's anywhere where they record, all the scores together for golf that I'm aware of, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. And so, we are longing for golf results. If you're out there golfing, and then I don't even know which schools have golf teams, right? Some do, some don't.
And, you know, in American Falls has had some great golfers in years past, right? So, there's definitely some good golfers in those lower classifications, here in East Idaho. And yeah, we'd love to hear about it. Like, you know, hit us up, you know, hit Brandon there at the email. You guys know where I'm at. I'm everywhere.
You know, like for example, you know, I'm looking at the Snake River golf schedule for 2024 on their official site. They only have one meet listed, April 9th, which would be next Tuesday, the Sugar Salem invite, but that's it. They don't even have any other things listed. I know they're playing other things.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah. They've got to be. I know some other golfing's happened, but yeah, we just don't have a ton of it. But that was just a thing I was thinking about. I'm like, where's the golfing at? With that kind of switch up in, you know, what classifications, what time of year they play. It's made it a little, maybe people have forgotten that some of it's still going on now. You know what I mean? We're not getting as much intel as we'd like on it, but, you know, I'm sure they're all swinging away.
Yes. And conversely, you know, I went to Sugar Salem's official site to see what they had going on with golf. They didn't even have the Sugar Salem invite listed. So I just, I don't know. I give up on this. So
golf's always kind of a hard, result kind of to get. And I think it's just cause there's, you know, there's just not a centralized place where they post it or anything. I'm lucky. I just, you know, knew a few ADs that would take pictures for me in the fall, right? They would take the pictures that are the results and send them to us, or coaches of, like you said, they put the scorecards usually on a big window in the clubhouse, and that's kind of it. And where those go, I don't know.
Yeah, they go into the garbage can is where they go. That's the story there. So yeah, Brandon at idahosports.com or at Sean Kane 182 on X. If you want to send some golf results our way, we would love to talk golf, boys and girls. Definitely. Yeah, there is no centralized place for golf, but there is for tennis, Sean. Good old tennisreporting.com. Now, I don't have a fancy subscription. I'm sure you do, because you're a coach. But what I can tell you is kind of just looking at the leaderboards in terms of, you know, our East Idaho tennis players that are performing well. And then we can talk more specifically about where you were with the Century tennis team yesterday against Rigby and Madison. But let's start right away with Rigby. Sterling Russell tied at the top of the leaderboard in terms of boys singles wins with five. He's tied with, athletes from Middleton, a pair of players from Middleton. So Sterling Russell of Rigby looking strong. Did you get to see him play yesterday, Sean?
Yeah, he's a senior. Sterling's a senior. He played my freshman. They went the distance, and Sterling won 10-7 in the third set against Max Shang. And yeah, he's pretty good. And what's cool, and I'm sure everyone will love this, right? We love Max Preps ratings, right? Tennis Reporting has, it's called an ELO rating. And it's pretty basic. You can click it and look what it is, but it's really just head to head and compiles it all. But it's also, a lot of it's just based, if you've played more matches, you're going to have a higher ranking no matter what. So that's one thing to keep in mind when you look at that. If you've played more matches, you're just going to be higher than everyone else until you get kind of an equally set of matches. But it's a pretty good little tool. It gives you a little, it gives you some comparison when you have two teams that haven't played, right? We've had this in other sports. When you don't have that, you know, that head to head, you can kind of look at that ranking score and see where they kind of fit in with other players. So it's definitely a cool tool. It's nothing perfect, but again, it has to do mainly with how many you've played. So if you've played more, it's way more beneficial. And obviously we're early goings here in the season. Some teams have none, some have seven matches played. So it's definitely hard here in the spring.
Middleton's got nine already. Is that sound right? That's crazy.
Yeah, I think I was looking at that today. Today I had some time. I went through like every score and every player, and I was trying to check out some things. I did a deep dive, as you guys sometimes do with that. I like to deep dive and look, and then look back what they did last year. Because with tennis, you know, the funny thing is they could have played singles last year, but now they're playing doubles. So, or mixed doubles. So there's three different spots they could be in and kind of compare. And so there, you can go down a rabbit hole, Brandon. And I have a few times, yeah. but it's fun. I think the idea is, you know, I'm glad the state went with something centralized, so we have everyone's scores, because the only way you could ever have really looked up scores if they were posted in the newspaper. Now we can go and look at what everyone's done. I think it's great. I think the idea is they want, you know, parents to buy the subscription so they can look it up. I don't know if that's quite going to happen, you know, in Idaho, but it's something, and they're really easy to work with. I have to give them a shout out. I send them messages all the time and they answer promptly. And in fact, I was asking him about their rating and he was telling me about it. And Steve from Tennis Reporting, and they're great to work with. So I do like we've went to at least something that's centralized.
Yes.
And they're trying to get it too, to where they're in like every state. So you could compare people from states to different states and kind of have a, you know, a big database. And it's hard because Idaho does mixed doubles, right? Well, they didn't know. They're like, what's that? I mean, they obviously know mixed doubles, but they had to add in a co-ed section because it was just singles and doubles, and then the co-ed is the mix. So right. It's kind of interesting. So they're kind of building with us, which is cool. And when we do seeding, because also you guys love seeding, right?
Of course.
When they do seeding, we have the committee, and then we have a representative from Tennis Reporting who's pulling up all the data on, you know, we're on a Zoom meeting and he's pulling it up, and we can do head to head and look up everyone. And you really, if for what we have, as far as distance, right, in the state, and just those head to heads will never happen. I think for what we have with Tennis Reporting and the committee, is you're really getting probably the best tournament you can get seeding wise. I mean, every once in a while, there's a few things, but I think for the most part, we're getting the best people in the championships. We're getting two really good teams on, or two players on opposite sides. We also have rules like you can't play your same district in the first round. You know, like it comes to mind, Skyline and Blackfoot playing in the first round of everything for every sport. But so there's some good things there. It's definitely a good tool. And I like that they're present. When we build the tournament bracket, they're part of it. They're not like, here's our stuff, do it. It's a team effort. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good resource. I like just going to look at the lead, and obviously, like I said, all I can see are kind of the leaderboards,
yeah.
You know, who's leading each category. But that gives me just an idea too of who's playing well and performing well. And Sean Kane doing those deep dives. That's why he is a multi-championship winning tennis coach. Of course, Sean is the boys and girls tennis coach at Century High School. Sean is tied for third all time in state tennis championships in Idaho. So,
yeah, I know who's ahead of me.
You're
John Armstrong.
John Armstrong of Bishop Kelly is second with 11. The all-time leader is Tom Campbell, who obviously coached at Capitol in the 70s, 80s, early legend.
90s. Yeah, legend, great guy. And, you know, he did it for more years than I'm probably alive. So, yeah, good. You're putting me in a wrong category. You're putting my name in with people that are legends. I'm just I'm more of like a pusher of moving the sport forward. Maybe that will be my thing, is just to get us forward and forward thinking and not being stuck in like I like to call the Idaho rut. Like, we just get stuck in a way of doing something. And we see this in other sports, the Idaho rut, like, oh, we've done it since 1955, you know? So, I think, you know, if you follow sports at any level, it's a ongoing thing that evolves, and you have to evolve with it, you know, whether it's rules, brackets, formats, you got to evolve. And sometimes Idaho is not the quickest state to evolve in sports. And I've just always been a proponent. We've got to do what's best for the student athletes at the end of the day. And I think that evolution is what is best for them, because then they get a product that helps them succeed later on in life as an individual or even a college player.
Yeah, for sure. So Tom Campbell's got 14 titles all time. He's first. John Armstrong of Bishop Kelly, currently coaching, has 11. And then you are tied with a couple of other people with 8. Do you know who you're tied with?
Well, I have 9, but.
Oh, you have 9?
Yeah, I have. Boys and girls are separate. So 5 girls and 3 boys.
Oh, well, maybe you're not tied then. I was just doing a quick cursory glance at the previous champions.
Or do I have 8?
I think it's 8. I don't want
to. Maybe I have 8. Yeah, maybe I'm thinking. No, it's 8. It's 5 and 3. Yep. Sorry.
Scandal.
I want one more.
Inflate his totals. Yeah, you got 8. You're tied with. Do you know who you're tied with?
Mm-mm.
Tommy Buford from Boise.
Boise. Yeah, he was from the South. He had the deepest South accent ever, and it was great being in his tennis match, hearing him talk, and you're transported to another world.
It's like talking to Logan sometimes, right? Logan Green here.
Oh man, I'm sure he's full of it right now with some of his college basketball teams being successful.
Yeah, both men and women in the Final Four. We talked for that way too long earlier today. On the Treasure Valley Prepcast. You're also tied with Marion DeWayne from Centennial.
Okay. So, yep. Another legend. Yep. Just legends. I don't know if I'm with those guys yet, but you know, we'll try our best.
Yeah. You talked about the Idaho rut, and I think that's what I'm going to call the title of this episode. And we're going way off the path here, but sometimes every once in a while we have an episode where we kind of just screw off for the show. You know, we just kind of, we thought we hit a couple topics, but it's we get distracted easily. I've started to do like historical research for this record book we're trying to put together. Right. I emailed all the football coaches, and a lot of them have gotten back to me so far. So, hey, if you're a head football coach out there and you didn't see my email, let me know and I will get you the info, because I can't do this without the school's help and cooperation, obviously. But along with that, I've started to go back through like old newspaper archives, looking back at like previous postseasons and which teams made the playoffs and when. I want to have all that info too, so you can at a reference go, oh, Pocatello High has made the playoffs 18 times. They've been to the semis 12 times. They've won 7. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That just takes a lot of time. The point of this story is, I started back in like 1985. That's when they first started kind of having football playoffs. But back then, like it was tough. And like, I'm all the way through the 90s now into 2000. And like some of the classifications, Sean, had like 14 brackets. Like that was it. Like four teams made the playoffs.
Yeah, I've seen some of those where that's it. It's the final four is right there. And I always wondered how they decided that. Must have just been a district champion or
I mean,
because there's more teams, right, than at that point.
Yeah.
Probably not a ton more, not like there are now, but there had to be a few more.
I mean, there were some years for like the largest classification, A1, that would split it up into D1 and D2. There were like some A1 brackets that like didn't have a team from North Idaho, like in the bracket of four. And I'm like, that's weird. What happened? Hmm. What happened there? Like
North Idaho snubbed again.
Right. But so anyways, and then, you know, some of them had eight. And eventually, you know, it's expanded now. I think it's a little overbloated in terms of football playoffs anyways, but
definitely in 4A.
Yeah. And like 3A, you know, you could probably argue too, but anyways, so you just mentioning that Idaho rut, like I went all the way from 1985 to 2000 and I'm still seeing like the same four team brackets. So I totally get what you're saying there.
I think in the last, you know, 10 years, it's been far more progressive than it had. I mean, this is my 20th year of coaching high school tennis this year. And, you know, in the last 10 years, we've progressed way farther than we have in the 10 before. So, I mean, I don't want to like, I'm not saying anything's bad. I'm just, it's, we just sometimes are slow to change. And I think we all know the processes of voting and how these things work. And now people are more familiar with it. I think the internet now helps that because now you can get that information on a dime. Like you can go to the websites and look up the rules and look up some of the data. And having that information and that data is really what kind of pushes the change. So in fact, for tennis, just one more thing for tennis is last year they changed the third set to a tiebreaker, a 10-point tiebreaker to decide it. Cause they're saying, you know, kids are playing too much. And anyways, I'm on the committee and people are kind of upset that the championship match came down to a tiebreaker, not a full format of a match. And now at least championships again will be a full three sets this year. Like, so 1 year, boom, fixed it next year. I don't remember that ever happening. As far as anything in sports, high school sports in Idaho, where we're like, we tried something, we got the data, everyone came back with what they thought, and we changed it to what I would say the majority wants. I've never heard anyone say they don't want a full match for a championship. If you're playing for the championship, we want the full meal deal. We want the fries, the soda, and the burger, not just the drinking burger.
Right, exactly. And yeah, this is a good point that I do think the IHSAA, its board, and so I can't comment on anything beyond the five-ish years I've been in Idaho, but I do feel like Ty Jones, outgoing executive director, has been very open to trying new things. And you have to, like, to innovate and to change and to adapt, you have to be willing to try new things, knowing that, hey, this could be a spectacular success. It could also be a spectacular failure. But either way, then when that happens, then you have to admit, okay, hey, this didn't work. How do we make it better? And we're coming to that point, I think, with a few things, you know, max preps, things like that, where we're assessing, hey, what's working with this and what isn't, and how can we fix it? And now, you know, the new executive director, Chad Williams, and the board members of the IHSAA, I hope, continue to run with the ball, so to speak, through some of these things.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like sports, right? If you're not willing to try and maybe fail, you're never going to win, right? You've got to go out and try. And sometimes we're going to try things, it's not going to work. I'm more on the page of like, well, let's try it. And you can't always just get so wound up and be mad at something. I found myself in that, like, oh, we're changing it to 10-point tiebreakers. I immediately went to the negative, didn't like it. And then, you know, after last year, I've taken a step back and been like, well, you know what, this is what we're doing. What can we do to make it better and not just go, I don't like this, because I don't like this, and this is dumb, doesn't fix anything, right? How do we work together to get the best thing for the kids, right? It's really what's best for the kids. A lot of the stuff gets caught up in personal, what people want personally or what they want for their school, but objectively you have to think what's best for the players and the kids. And that's hard to do as a coach. It's hard to do as a parent. But when you do that, that's when you get the best results.
Yeah. You can't be afraid to fail. Like you said, one winter ago, I tried on the site, idahosports.com. I tried doing like a top 25 for like boys basketball, girls basketball. Oh my gosh. People hated it. Hey, got the message. I'm willing to admit. Okay. I tried something. It didn't work. Let's throw it in the recycle bin. Like, you know,
and you had it like with all classifications too, right? Yeah.
No, people did not like that. So anyways, again, Brandon@idahosports.com. If there's things you like or don't like, I'm probably opening myself up there. Let's finish up this tennis leaderboard real quick, cause it's a lot of Rigby and Madison, which are the two teams you saw yesterday in tennis. Sterling Russell, we mentioned, tied for the leaderboard in most singles wins on the boys side with five. When you look at girls singles play, you have Naomi Rarick of Madison and Kate Johnson of Skyline, each with four. That only puts them one off second place and two off the statewide leader from Centennial. So they're right there too. Then when we look at doubles play, on the boys side, Michael Ray and Austin Lamb from Madison have four doubles victories so far. The leaders are from Middleton. They have eight, which is just insane, but Madison's tied for second. And then in doubles girls, you have, nothing. What was I looking at? Oh, co-ed maybe, boys and girls together. Nope, nothing there either. So, okay. I guess that's all I had for you, Sean.
Yeah, and then that Madison team, that boys doubles team you talked about, my team beat them yesterday. That's just not updated yet. Gave them their first loss in a three-set, really, really good match. Daniel McGee and Liam McGee won 10-6 in the third set. So, but yeah, a lot of good East Idaho players. You're not going to get a ton of results from East Idaho because these are going to be people that have played a lot more matches down here. On this, but they're coming. There's good players here, trust me.
Yep, for sure. We just gotta wait for the schedule to catch up. All right, let's take just a quick stroll through the latest softball and baseball standings. We'll just work 5A down to 1A, or I guess there's not really 1A baseball and softball in East Idaho. 5A to 2A. You know, let's start softball. Thunder Ridge, I don't like to brag, but I did say a couple weeks ago, hey, keep an eye on Thunder Ridge. That they're 8-0, Sean. Their closest game this year has been like 6-1. They just beat Idaho Falls 6-1. Like that was their closest game of the year so far. Big game tomorrow, Thursday, April 4th. At OK Ward Park in Pocatello. They're going to play the Thunder, Sean. This will be a big matchup.
Yeah, that's a huge game. The Thunder, a great team coming up just short last year in the state championship. Great pitching with Lusk and a couple others. But, yeah, that'll be a big game. And I'll agree with you, you did say Thunder Ridge was going to be good. They were good last year, too. They did lose some people, so I was kind of interested to see how that was going to work out, but doing really well.
Yep. Pocatello, meanwhile, at the 4A level, Sean, 6-2. They had those two losses to Valley View and Owyhee that we kind of talked about last week during spring break action. And then we talked about, hey, they've got a couple of big two-game series coming up. Friday, they swept Blackfoot 11-4, and then they won in 8 innings, 8-7. And then Tuesday, they went over to Twin Falls and swept the Bruins 7-4 and 6-3. So Pokey is now 6-2 ahead of their home game with Thunder Ridge on Thursday.
Yeah, and the Thunder, you know, I don't think we were worried about them with those games against Valley View. And again, softball, you got that pitching, and the Thunder definitely have a great pitchers.
Yeah, in particular, in that win over Blackfoot, the 11-4 victory in the circle, Mia Lusk was outstanding. She went 6 innings. She had 8 strikeouts. She allowed 3 runs, but none of them were earned. And she also then you know, had a pretty solid performance at the plate as well. And this is the thing, Pocatello, really their offense, it's 1-9. Like any of them can step up and lead on any given night. So to see them get sweeps of Blackfoot and Twin Falls, very encouraging. Speaking of District 6, Blackfoot's now 3-4. You've got Hillcrest still out to an 8-2 start. A lot of that was built up early. And then they're actually 11-2 now. They have picked up a couple more games recently, including a 7-6 win over Madison Tuesday night. That came in extra innings. They did just sweep Century. They swept Highland. So Hillcrest is probably the favorite. But then you've got Bonneville, Idaho Falls, and I still think, you know, Blackfoot and Skyline's played one game, Sean.
I know how that is, but that's tough. Again, we have a District 6 where we've got just a bunch of teams, right, that are probably going to be there. Hillcrest just has played so many more games at this point. But Bonneville and Idaho Falls, both 4-2, Blackfoot 3-4. But, you know, Blackfoot hung tough with a really good Thunder team, too. And Skyline, only one game. Hard to know what's going to happen in this conference. But right now, Hillcrest out to an early lead, but no conference play yet. I mean, we know that's going to be what it comes down to at the end, but a good start for Hillcrest Knights at the kind of the, well, I mean, we're almost halfway through really, but the last half of the first part of the season for the Knights.
Yep. 3A softball, Sean, I think it's pretty clear. Sugar Salem is the best team in East Idaho just based upon, yeah, they're 8-3, but they have also swept Marsh Valley this year. They've swept American Falls. They beat Snake River. I mean, they're undefeated against District 5. And then you look at District 5, and to me, Marsh Valley is the team. They're 4-4. They, in turn, have swept Teton this year. So, you know, Sugar and Marsh Valley are the teams I'm keeping an eye on. Still no conference games yet because each one is a three-team league, but Yeah,
definitely got Sugar, and Marsh Valley is always one of those teams that I think comes on a little later in the season, just kind of due to the lack of games, but I think they'll be pretty good as well.
2A, North Fremont is 4-0, Sean. They are 2-0 in nuclear conference play. Pair of wins over, Salmon and Ryrie. To pick up two conference wins so far. It is, especially at the 2A level, it's hard to find games. A lot of these teams are going to be going to Glens Ferry for a tournament next Saturday, which will help in our assessments. You know, for example, Malad, the defending champions, still 2-0, Sean. Just two games. They've beaten a pair of 3A teams, though, Snake River and Marsh Valley. Statewide, Malad, still very capable.
Yeah, I still like Malad. Their wins are big too, right? 13-3 over Snake River, 11-1 over Marsh Valley. Malad's good. The win column will fill up as it goes on.
Yes, hopefully now that the bad weather's behind us, all the way in the rearview mirror, we could pick up some steam here. 5A baseball. Let's turn the page to baseball, Sean. But before we do, did you know that vaping companies use different flavors to hide the nicotine and chemicals in vapes so they can hook your brain and get you addicted? It drives me nuts. There's like, oh yeah, it's pancakes with maple syrup, and like, oh, this flavor is grape, and I've got fruit berry punch, and it's like, they're like, but it's like still nicotine. Like it's still harmful for your body. Just because they put a flavor to it doesn't mean it's any better for you.
It's just like Willy Wonka, right? The snozzberries, it's bad. You know, when they get the good flavor stuff, something bad happened to those little kids, right? If you didn't learn from Willy Wonka, I mean, I don't know what you're going to learn.
which part of the movie are you talking about? There was a lot of
like all of them. They all in every like one was a blueberry, one with the snozzberries tastes like everything bad happened, and it was all the candy was covered up as something else. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. I still don't quite understand, but here's what I know. When they said the snozzberries tastes like snozzberries, they were all licking the walls. And so I don't want to, you know, that's a different type of, but that's it. Anyways, don't vape. Like, it's that simple.
Well, what I was trying to say is just because you think it's good, like a good tasting thing or a good flavor, doesn't mean it's good, is what I was getting at, because something bad happened to the little kid after they thought the thing was good, or endless eating, right? That's where I was going with it. But
gotcha. The candy at first appeared to be delicious, but it ultimately was calamitous.
Yes.
And that's how it is with vaping as well. You're still pumping nicotine into your body, so don't even do it. Just be smart, don't start. That's from No Vape Idaho. For more info, you can go to our website, idahosports.com, or type in No Vape, K-N-O-W Vape, into your favorite web browser. All right, baseball, Sean. Okay, on last week's show, we talked about Highland and Pocatello were playing at Hallowell Park, and the battle of horns up, horns down, right? Highland win would be horns up. Highland loss would be horns down. Highland, and we kind of gave you the real, in real time score, right? 10-0.
Yeah.
And that ended up being the final score. Highland got the 10-0 win. But not only that, Sean, but it was a no-hitter.
Yeah, we had a no-hitter. And then it was kind of the city rivalries that week. You know, Highland took down Pocatello 10-0. And then Friday after that, Wednesday, the 29th, March 29th, they beat Century 14-1. And then on Monday, April 1st, they beat Madison 13-0. So they're Highland on a three-game winning streak. By big wins. They've only given up one run in three games.
Yeah, that pitching is phenomenal. Taylor Stringfellow, the senior, throws the no-hitter, Sean. The only blemishes on his resume were two walks. Otherwise, seven strikeouts in the five-inning affair. Just phenomenal. So congratulations to Taylor Stringfellow for throwing the no-hitter in that 10-0 win. The Highland Rams baseball Twitter account, Sean, they crack me up. They're good. They do such a good job of tagging us and everything. Mm-hmm. Did you see what they posted at the day they played Madison?
No, I haven't.
They posted Rams lose to Madison today 4-1.
Oh, on April 1st.
April Fools, Rams win 13-0 over Madison, 1-0 in conference.
Oh yeah. All right, guys.
Yeah. Speaking of Highland baseball, they have their own field, Sean. Westmark Field. It is an on-campus baseball facility. In years past, Highland has had, well, like everybody, Hallowell Park, right? That's where all three play. Pocatello, yep. Century, and Highland. They all play at Hallowell Park, which is, you know, down the street from, is it Hawthorne Middle School?
Well, it's right by the Thunder
Stadium, Lookout Field.
Yeah, Lookout Field football, and right there. It's kind of a sports complex now, right? You got the football field of Hawthorne Junior High in the background there, and then Hollowell Park. So a lot of sporting activities going on in that area now.
Yeah, I swear I used to live in Pocatello, but I never learned the middle schools well enough but yes, Hawthorne is where it's at. But now Highland has its own facility. They had their first game ever at Westmark Field. It was a C squad game, but they are planning a big event, Sean, Friday, April 26th. So that is in a couple of weeks still. But they are calling out any alumni from the past 60 years, 1964 to the present. If you have played Highland Ram baseball, if you have donned the black and red, you are invited for alumni night at the brand new Westmark Field. You're going to get a free Rams t-shirt. The current players are going to be on the grill cooking burgers for everybody. And then there'll be tours and basically a chance to look at the new facility. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah. Just a great, great event. Hallmark something positive facility wise at Highland, right? I mean, it's nice that there's something positive going on the Highland campus that everyone can kind of rally behind, and definitely be a good experience if some of these past players come out and meet the new guys, and that's always really cool. And you always, when they have events like this, there's always someone you didn't expect to come, right? It'll be some legend of Highland baseball will come, and you know, I'm imagining some really good stories about bus rides or something like that. But yeah, definitely a lot of hype around that, and glad that that field's ready to go. And it's really good looking, and you got the mountains in the background just like the football field. And I like it, and it's that field turf, and I haven't seen too many baseball fields with that, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I mentioned this I don't know when on a previous podcast, but I really think the COVID-19 pandemic forced the Pocatello School District to reevaluate what they were doing facilities wise, because for so long, all three football teams just played inside Holt Arena. It was just a given. And all of the baseball teams played at Hallowell Park, and all the soccer teams played at the middle schools or the Portniff Wellness Complex. And there was just always these built-in mechanisms, but all of a sudden COVID happens. Holt Arena says, sorry, you can't come in. And kind of left the school district holding the bag a little bit. And so they had to scramble to get their own on-campus fields ready to go. They pulled it off and they said, hey, this worked out pretty well. But they also reflected and knew that, hey, we're going to need better facilities moving forward, not just for football, but for baseball and soccer and basketball. And so what we've seen is Lookout Field, right, at Pocatello High now, brand new facility there. They play soccer and football. We have seen some renovations to Highland's Iron Horse Stadium, and of course this new baseball field being built. Centuries is gonna come, right?
It's on the calendar, I think, to start at the end of the May for the turf.
Okay, cool.
So I mean, we'll see what happens.
Right.
I mean, you think nothing's for certain. You know, after the tragic fire at Highland, there's things that are more important, right, than sports fields sometimes, when it comes down to it. And I'm fine with that, but yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it'll get done this summer. And, you know, it's kind of funny now that everyone's getting turf. No one likes turf, but I always hear football coaches say it. I liked grass better, but that turf's multi-purpose, and I think that's kind of the key to it. You can do more, hopefully play your soccer there or play, you know, different things, because you've got the lights already built in. So, you know, you can even practice some baseball and stuff on the turf, right? If you have to, if you just need a spot, you can hit some pitches, put up, they have inflatable batting cages now. I don't know if you've seen these. Century has one. It just inflates with the netting, so they can take it anywhere or put it around the home plate, so you're not hitting it at anyone and stuff. So they're portable, and you can put those anywhere too. So those are pretty cool. I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Pop-up batting cage. At Sandpoint High School, Sean, they've got the turf on their football field, and their football field also then stretches into their baseball field. They kind of share the turf. It's kind of a cool setup out there in Sandpoint. But anyways, long story short, it's great to see each high school kind of getting their own dedicated facilities. The closer we get to that, where Century, Highland, and Pocatello all have their own beautiful facilities, I think we're one step closer to some state events coming to East Idaho. You know, I think right away of like state soccer. That's pretty realistic. If Century, Highland, and Pocatello all had turf fields, you have ISU, of course, Idaho State University, that's right there too.
Davis Field is great.
Yeah, Davis Field. Yeah, that to me is kind of like, yeah, we could host state soccer, no problem. You could host other events if the facilities are up to snuff. In fact, Hallowell Park is hosting the 2A state baseball tournament this year.
Interesting.
Cool. Right. Yeah. And Hallowell's hosted tournaments over the years, not a ton, but anyways, so the closer we get to each school having their own dedicated facilities, the closer we get to East Idaho being able to host some of these things, whether it's Pocatello or Pocatello in conjunction with Idaho Falls. I know we want to bring more state events over to the East, and that's how you have to get it done. All right. unless you had anything to add to that. diatribe.
No, I feel like you hit every nail in there.
with blunt force, but yeah, we got him in. Baseball, hey, 4A, it is Blackfoot at 7-2, Sean. They're 3-0 in conference play so far. Bonneville, of course, is always lurking. I feel like the Bees are 3-7, but they're 2-1 in league play. Blackfoot has wins over Pocatello, Timberline, which is a 5A. They'll be at state for 5A. Thunder Ridge, and then a three-game sweep of Hillcrest. Now, the big series is coming up. It's actually tonight, Sean. Tonight and tomorrow. Blackfoot and Bonneville. The way the High Country Conference does it is they play a single game at one team's venue. So like Bonneville is at Blackfoot today for a single game. And then the very next day they play a doubleheader at the opposing team's venue. So it's a single game in Blackfoot tonight, doubleheader in Bonneville tomorrow.
Yeah. I kind of like how they do that. Kind of gives you that kind of feeling of a state tournament, or we're going to have play more than one game in one day or in a row. That's a pretty cool format there. And yeah, you know, you look at that high country conference. Yeah, it's just, again, you know, I talked about Blackfoot earlier. Remember, I kind of felt like they're the kind of the team baseball. I had a good feeling about them, and they've turned out to make me look good. Thank you, Blackfoot. 7-2. But you know, Idaho Falls is still, I think, even at 2-7, 1-2 in conference, I still think they're pretty tough. You know, you have Shelley 4-4. You have a lot of good teams. Bonneville's 3-7 overall, but 2-1 in conference. You know, Idaho Falls and Bonneville always just have really strong baseball. It's just been a traditional thing, and they've also, you know, had such success at those summer leagues as well when all those kids get together.
Yeah, and speaking of new facilities, for the longest time, Idaho Falls and Skyline have played their baseball games at Melaleuca Stadium, right, where the Idaho Falls Chuckers play. That's the used to be minor league baseball. Now it's just semi-pro, which is great, right? But Idaho Falls now has their own baseball facility as well, Sean. The Tiger Athletic Complex. It's on the baseball field. There's some pretty cool pictures online. It's something that the boosters and supporters of Idaho Falls High kind of built from scratch, and it's pretty much, from my understanding, like full go now, which is cool.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. Well, that's great. Yeah, again, there's just not an abundance of baseball fields anymore, it seems like, too. Everyone's sharing or using a pre-existing facility, so it's nice to see teams in East Idaho in general just get a facility of their own. And help. I mean, that just really helps your program. That helps with the building and all those different facets of the game.
Yeah, they have their own, and it looks like turf. I could be wrong, but they have their own dedicated facility now for the Idaho Falls Tigers, which is just awesome to see for sure. So anyways, as we continue our tour of the baseball standings, I thought this was going to be a short show, and then we get off topic and it ends up being longer. 3A baseball, Sean. Sugar Salem 7-4, still no conference games. Marsh Valley is 6-3. They have a very interesting, they got an interesting week, Sean. They played Malad last night and lost 1-0. The Dragons scored in the top of the seventh might have been the sixth. They scored late to get the 1-0 win over Marsh Valley. And now the Eagles head to the Treasure Valley for a two-game series at Weezer on Friday and a two-game series at Homedale on Saturday. Those are teams that Marsh Valley thinks they're going to run into at state. So this is actually like a pretty good trip for them.
Yeah, great. Great trip. Really, you get those games in early, see where you're at, see how your, you know, pitching matches up to their batting or vice versa. Yeah, great early season test for the Eagles.
Yeah, and then they come home from that, and then next Tuesday, Sean, they host Kimberly. That's the team that, so Marsh Valley won the 3A baseball championship last year. They beat Kimberly in the championship by a run, 4-3. They played Kimberly way back in March, and Kimberly won 6-1 in Kimberly. I'm sure they were very motivated. But now Marsh Valley with a little more seasoning under their belts. I'm excited to see how that rematch goes on Tuesday night in Aramo as well between Kimbrough. So, I mean, Marsh Valley knows who the players are statewide, right?
Yeah.
It's Holmdale. It's Kimberly. It's, you know, probably Sugar Salem. They didn't get Sugar on the schedule, but they did get Teton, which is in their conference. So, I mean, Marsh Valley knows, hey, we got to play the best teams.
And, yeah,
and then, go ahead.
No, I mean, you just look at this Marsh Valley schedule and it's, you know, it's a schedule to go out and win a championship. There's not really any there's not any really easy games here. And they played Skyview, you know, Skyview was in the championship before 4A last year, if I'm not mistaken. And they lost 8-12 to the, you know, state runners up in a division higher. I mean, that you got a good schedule that you're looking to build on something big for later in the postseason.
For sure. Not Skyview, but their league mate, Bishop Kelly, state runner up last year. They lost to Pokey in the championship.
Skyview was softball.
Yeah,
they softball.
You're good. 2A baseball, Sean. We talked about Malad. They squeezed out that 1-0 win over Marsh Valley last night. The Dragons are 4-2. They are the defending 2A state champions. They are looking strong and the favorites in District 5. District 6, a little more interesting, where our favorite River Cats, Chalice Mackey, they're 5-1. They're 1-0 in the conference. Salmon is 1-0 in conference play, Sean. They're 3-4 overall. Salmon picked up a 10-7 win over North Fremont way back in March at the start of the season. And then Chalice Mackey's conference win also came over North Fremont 3-2. So here are the Huskies sitting at 2-2 in league play because North Fremont has then turned around and beaten West Jefferson twice. So, you know, can Salmon sustain this? I'll need to see more data. Chalice Mackey's a program I trust. They've been to state the past couple seasons. This is going to be an interesting one. And you can never count out Firth, right? They're 6-4 overall. They haven't played any conference games yet. And Firth is a team that has gone out and put together a schedule like Marsh Valley, right? They've played Melba and Declo and Marcine and Coal Valley Christian. And so I still think Firth is the overall favorite, but Chalice Mackey and Salmon looks like maybe a fun team.
Yeah, Salmon. I mean, what, you know, kind of a little bit of a surprise, but doing well. And you kind of just look at this nuclear conference and you've got a lot of a parity. I think all these teams, these conference records could be a lot different in a couple of weeks. Who knows? But most of the teams are doing really, really well. But yeah, I like seeing Salmon out there right now doing well. I think, you know, they've struggled to have full teams and stuff. So it's been great for them to have that in the baseball arena.
For sure. Well, we'll see if the Savages can keep it up for sure. But that'll do it for this edition of the East Idaho Prepcast. Thank you for tuning in, everybody, on the IdahoSports.com YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Twitter account. Also, audio only at IdahoSports.com or wherever you download and subscribe to podcasts. Sean, enjoy the tennis competition coming up.
Yeah, tomorrow, Thunder Ridge. We're on a 5A bender, I guess, this week.
Yeah, boy, Madison Rigby.
Madison Rigby and Thunder tomorrow. So that'll be good. I mean, our boys beat Madison yesterday. The boys won. I don't know if we've ever beat Madison in a head-to-head ever. So that was pretty good. Madison's a really, really good team. They're going to be strong. Thunder Ridge is going to be tough. They have really, really good girls. It'll be fun for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So good luck this weekend, wherever you're headed for competition, and we will see you back here next week. For Sean Kane, I'm Brandon Bainey. Thanks for tuning into the East Idaho Prepcast on IdahoSports.com.